Hi, and welcome to The Lonely Triathlete. My name is Todd Sauter, and I am The Lonely Triathlete. And this podcast episode is going to cover swimming stories. Turns out I have a lot of swimming stories, so this will be part one of at least part two. And I hope I can keep you entertained with some of my stories of swimming over the past 20, 25 years. You know, most of us triathletes have a love-hate relationship with swimming, right? Well, why the hate? Well, because the majority of us don't come with an extensive swimming background, and swimming happens to be one of the most technically demanding of the three disciplines. So you can't just overcome poor swim technique with better endurance or brute force. As I've experienced, the harder that you swim with poor technique, the harder it is to move quickly through the water. And I've also found it can be really difficult to relearn proper habits. You either need to hire a coach and or go to master swim sessions consistently and or check out, you know, the heck of the swim videos and then dedicate hours and hours and hours of practice, which most of us don't have the time or the patience for. So as an amateur, I think it's worthwhile to dedicate a certain amount of time to improve your swimming, but only up to a certain point. So if your progress is slow, I'd say try to improve until you are about average for your age group. And then you'd be far better off dedicating all of that time to cycling and running performance, because you get way bigger bang for the buck by improving your cycling endurance, running endurance, speed and power in those two disciplines. Swimming, at least in my experience, after 20 years of swimming, once you get, you know, decent to pretty good, beyond that, it's just not worth your time as an amateur. But hey, this podcast is not about swimming technique, because you can find many, many people way more knowledgeable about that topic than me. No, this is going to be a collection of a few stories about swimming events in my own life, which I hope you find entertaining. Now, in Canada, where I'm from, at least in the province that I grew up in as a kid, the school system made you take swimming lessons until you reached a certain level. So even if you didn't like swimming, too bad, you had to do it. Now, maybe that's changed since I was a kid, but I'm thankful that that was the way it was, because swimming skill and proficiency can save lives, your own specifically, and it also gives you a skill that you can carry with you for the rest of your life. So I'm all for it. But my mom made me take lessons beyond the mandatory cutoff. And eventually, you reach a level where they emphasize less swimming skill and more life-saving techniques, like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Now, I don't know what you were like when you were in grade school, but that was not life-saving skills. First of all, was daunting. And secondly, they made you work on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with humans, not with Annie the robot or Annie the doll, like with other humans in your class. And my earliest memory was of having to do mouth-to-mouth with someone in my class. And the worst thing that they could possibly do to a 10 to 12-year-old male, especially, is to pair them up with a female. I think I would have quit swimming right then and there. But thankfully, or not so thankfully, they pair you with another male. Now, it's as awkward as heck. And there was this guy in my class that I was convinced that they were going to pair me with. Let's call him Carl. And Carl had the worst facial acne I had ever seen in a prepubescent boy. He also had dry lips with scaly lip skin. And I imagined he also had breath that smelled like it was from the pit of hell. Although I didn't know for sure because they hadn't paired us up yet. But the day came when I actually had to practice my resuscitation skills on Carl, as I knew they would pair us together. And honestly, it's all a bit of a blur. But I can't remember when the day came, he was laying on his back on the side of the pool deck, mouth open, head up, and I was getting down close to give them some life-saving breath, that his lips were thin and cold. His acne, indeed, was terrible, and up close I could see oozing whiteheads. So I closed my eyes, and by closing my eyes, it felt like we were kissing. So I forced myself to keep my eyes open, which was weird in and of itself. And I'm staring at these volcano-like pimples, and I gave him mouth to mouth, and I just felt weird. Again, guys, I was 11, 12 years old. That felt weird and horrible. And the awful thing is that this experience got tied to the smell of chlorine from the pool. So even to this day, the smell of chlorine puts me back to giving mouth to mouth with Carl. Now, thankfully, in all the intervening years, that chlorine smell has also become mixed with fun times, swimming victories, awesome triathlons, and other stuff. So I can easily shift into happy feelings when I smell the smell of chlorine. But honestly, every time I smell a pool, I get that instant sinking feeling, like a nervous feeling in the pit of my stomach, and I have to consciously overcome that feeling with positive memories. Now, I would be very interested if any one of you listening to this has a particular feeling when you smell chlorine. Maybe I'm the only weird one in the world. I don't know. But please email me and share with me any memories that you have or feelings that you have associated with pool chlorine. The next story that comes to mind is when I first started training for a triathlon. At that time, I had printed out a basic beginner's training plan, and I stuck it in a Ziploc bag so I could bring it to the pool deck. And I remember that plan called for a pretty simple warm-up of, I think, about 200 meters of easy swimming, followed by some drills, then a main set of super easy intervals, like 250 meters times three, with a minute of rest in between. So I thought, no problem, I can do this. And to my shock and utter dismay, I was only able to swim 50 meters, so two lengths of this pool, before my arms, my back, and my shoulders felt like they were literally on fire. And I held on to the end of the pool lane in complete disbelief. Like, if I can't even do a quarter of the warm-up, how in the world am I going to finish this workout? And if I can't even come close to finishing this workout, how am I going to swim 1,500 meters in my first standard distance triathlon, which was coming up like 3 or 4 months away? So I tried again, and again, 50 meters is all I could do until I was just in agonizing pain at the end of the pool. So, I mean, it made sense. As an adult, I never swam more than 25 meters in any continuous straight line before, but it was shocking. It was shocking as a person who could cycle 100 kilometers and run for a couple of hours that I couldn't go more than a minute of swimming before I was defeated. So I decided I'm going to face this like I face any other training challenge in my life. And I went at it 3 days a week, and I just started with where I was, and I tried to build just a little bit on what I was able to do in my previous workout. So sure enough, over the next few months, I built my ability to swim up to 1,000 meters nonstop. And ultimately, I did my first standard distance race, which is 1,500 meters without any issue. Although I recall my back and my shoulders were hurting for days after that race. But isn't it amazing what our bodies can do when we train them properly? I am regularly in awe of what I see other people accomplish in sport, which for the most part, it's pretty accessible to almost anyone who's got the time and the dedication and the desire to train. It's pretty cool what we can get ourselves to do. Well, listen, I'll stop there. I promised I'd keep these episodes short and sweet. And next week I'll record Swimming Stories Part 2, where I recount the time where I very easily could have died, almost died. I'm not making this up. This is not hyperbole. I came very close to dying while swimming, and I'll share the story because it's crazy. And maybe I can even save a life out there. Who knows? But if you listen to my story, hopefully you take some lessons from it. So, as usual, if you have any stories about swimming, the smell of chlorine, your early days in the sport, I would love to hear about that. And any other feedback you want to send me, love to hear from you. Until next time.